Thank you all for joining us this morning. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God together. It's exciting. A couple of quick things before we dismiss the children. In your bulletins today and over the next couple of weeks, as you know, we're getting ready to enter the new year. You have a missions commitment cards for 2017. Mission commitment cards for 2017. As we've been sharing, we're having to pray through and reevaluate our missions giving and who we're going to support, because our missions giving has decreased over the months recently. So your commitment and knowing what you're willing to take a step of faith and committing in is going to help us determine what we can do for 2017 in faith. So I ask you to challenge you to take that home, pray it over. It'll be in your bulletins over the next few weeks as we just kind of prepare to enter in 2017. And also, for those who are not familiar with what we do every January, we fast in the new year. And you'll be getting more information on that in the coming couple of weeks. But basically, we come together as a church and we fast for the entire month of January. And you fast however the Lord leads you to fast. Fasting is generally a food thing. But for those who have dietary restrictions, you pray and seek the Lord how He wants you to fast. We've had teenagers fast Xboxes for a month, which, if you know, that's a miracle. And things like that. So pray about it. Some have chosen fast breakfast and morning, and they do use that time to stay focused on the Lord and pray. Others fast specific foods. Whatever it might be, January 1st is a Sunday this year. So beginning January 1st, that Sunday, to January 31st, we will fast together, and then we will officially break the fast, even though might have broken it a few days earlier, on the first Sunday in February. Because January 31st is kind of in the middle of a week. So we will break it together and with a fellowship in February. But pray about how the Lord would have you fast. And what we are praying for is obviously this church, for God to move it into its destiny, what it's being called to be and to do, to be the impact that we want to be, for us to grow spiritually and hunger for Him, but also to increase in people who are going to be worshipers of the living God. So we pray for our city. We pray for our neighborhoods. We pray for our families. We pray for our country. We pray for whatever things that have us in bondage or struggles are broken off in Jesus' name. So we pray for breakthroughs, what we're really praying through in many ways. We pray for a new facility of our own to worship in. We pray for those things. And again, you'll get more details on how we're going to do some of these things in January, in the next couple of weeks. So, but right now, kids are free to go to Children's Church. And if you would stand with me and raise your Bibles, and let's give God glory for His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. One more thing I want to share real quick about the missions thing. Being that our Mission Sunday is usually the fourth Sunday of the month, and this year it happens to be Christmas Day, and we're not having services Christmas Day, next week we will give you opportunity to give for this month's mission. Just so you pray about it this week. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I gave you an introduction about the fivefold ministry. And if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A couple of quick things. God gave some to hold these offices, and these offices are different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are available for all. Some people are specifically called to hold some of these offices. And everyone can pursue and work within those offices as well. But some have such an anointing that it's clear who they are and what God has called them to do. God gave them. He gave these offices for the purpose of equipping the church. And they're meant to be given and continue till the kingdom of God is completed on earth, till we all come into unity. And they're ordained and they're also prioritized based on heaven's principles. And this is where we're going to get into a little bit today. I want to talk about first. He says first, apostles, right? He gave first apostles. See, most people think, and in our modern day church, the pastor of the church, the role of pastor, is looked on as the main figure. But you know what? According to the principles of heaven, according to what he said, he gave first. And see, James, who is known to be the first official pastor of the first official church in the New Testament in Jerusalem, he kind of oversaw it. What was he first? He was an apostle before he was even pastor. And when God, and when in his word, puts things in a specific way and in a specific order, it's meant to be that way for a reason. God does not make mistakes in his word. I'll share with you in a minute why. But modern day definition of an apostle is, these are some of the things that people say. What, when you ask them, what's an apostle? Some say, oh, anyone who walked with Jesus, who followed Jesus. Some will say only the 12 plus Paul, because Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus, is an apostle. Or some would even say only the missionaries. If you're a missionary, you're an apostle. Or one of the 70, if they want to expand beyond the 12 and Paul, that Jesus sent out. Because remember, he sent out 70 two by two. Were defined as apostles. But the true meaning of the word is one who is sent out. That's what the original definition in Greek of the word apostle is: one who is sent out, to send off, a messenger, an envoy, is an apostle. Now, I want you to look at something here. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, this will help explain this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul is saying, hey, we are here on behalf of Christ so that for the purpose of you becoming reconciled with God. In other words, getting things right with God. We're here to help you get your heart, mind, spirit tuned in to what God is doing, what He wants for you, what He created you to be. But even more than that, it says we are ambassadors. And I know many of us have heard this. When an ambassador of one country goes to another country, the ground they stand on, where they stay, is considered territory of the country that sent them. and is governed by the laws of the country that sent them. So when we have an embassy in Iraq or in Italy or in Germany, the property, the grounds that that embassy sits on is considered part of the United States and is governed by the rules of the United States, not Germany, not Italy, not Iraq, not anywhere. So as an ambassador, I represent, Paul's saying, the one who sent me, so you can be reconciled with the one who sent me. And in doing so, I carry the authority of the one who sent me. I've been ordained by the one who sent me, and I carry the power of the one who sent me because I can make decisions based on the government where I came from. So spiritually speaking, what government are we talking about? The kingdom of heaven, right? As an ambassador for Christ, we are, wherever we go, carrying the principles, the governing authority and power of the kingdom of heaven. That's why we say when we go in our workplace, we can claim that ground. Because if Christ's presence is in me, if His Spirit lives in me and I am His ambassador, and I go to work and say, I claim this ground. I claim this ground. You guys know where I work with a lot of issues of mental health and depression, suicidal ideations, confusion and with schizophrenia and different types of mental disorders and emotional issues and addictions. I go in there and I try to do this on a daily basis, and I claim that ground. We do it at home and when I walk in there, knowing I carry the presence of God. So I walk into my workplace, and my stance is, Lord, I command the spirit of confusion to leave this place because God is the author of spirit of peace. I command depression to go and hope restored in Jesus' name because I'm claiming this as my ambassador-type territory where I stand because the principles of the kingdom of heaven are living within me and flowing within me because I have the Spirit of God in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I can do this. I have the authority by God to do this, and I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this because the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in where? In me. Lives in me. So I can do this. So an apostle is carrying the principles of the kingdom of heaven. An ambassador is carrying the principles of the government that sent him, the government of heaven. So an apostle's role, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is they see and know what's happening in heaven and they bring it to earth. See, as an ambassador, I need to know what my president, what my leadership in my government, what their will and what their desire and how they want to bring reconciliation or unity with this country that I am going in. So as an ambassador for Christ, as an apostle, I have to be in tune with what heaven's doing, what God has established in heaven, what His purpose is in heaven. And then I'm here to carry out that purpose. Some of the purpose is pretty clearly laid out. Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples. Go preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Right? He laid out some clear things. But then there are other things where we need to pray, where we need to just get into the presence of God and ask the Holy Spirit, bring a new revelation of what Your will is, God. See, when we worship, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter His courts with praise. When we worship, we enter the place where Jesus is. And if we're in the place where Jesus is, we are going to know what is going on in that place. We will have an idea. We will have clarity. We will have direction on what is going on. When Isaiah was taken up in Isaiah 6, in his vision and he saw the throne room of Christ, he entered that place. And then he heard what was being established in heaven. When God said, "Whom shall I send? I want someone to go to this land and restore it to me. Be its ambassador." And Isaiah said, "I'll do it. I'll do it." See, one of the things that I'm really loving lately, over the last few years, Tiffany and I made a commitment to pursue the presence of God more and more. To purposefully ask, "Holy Spirit, what is going on? What is going on?" Even at work, I'll be in the middle of group and I'll say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do right now with this line of questioning or this thinking or this discussion? What is your will, heaven? What is your will, God, right now? Bring a revelation to it so I can know and move in it, because I want to be obedient to that. I want to make that choice to be obedient to that." An ambassador claims whatever ground the laws of the governing land comes in with. Acts 19, 1 through 6 says this: "While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' So Paul asked, 'Then what baptism did you receive?' 'John's baptism,' they said, 'which is salvation only.' Paul said, 'John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the disciples to believe in the coming, in the one coming after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied.'" See, we need the Holy Spirit. He's the one that connects us to the heart of God and the mind of Christ. He's the one who brings the revelation. So Paul walked in, and yes, these were Christians, guys. They were saved. But they didn't know how to tune into heaven. They weren't hearing the voice of God. They weren't able to hear exactly what was going on. They didn't know what their destiny was. They didn't know even how to pray, "Lord, what is it you want me to do in this given situation?" They didn't have the discernment needed. Paul knew what needed to happen for them to tune into that. They needed the Holy Spirit. So he said, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay hands, pray over you so that you will receive the Holy Spirit so you can now be in tune with what God's heart is, what his mind is, what he's establishing." I love our prayer in the morning on Sunday morning, because many of us come together and we pray. And we don't just pray, "Lord, do this," and "Lord, do that." We're asking God, bring a revelation of what he wants done, what's going on. Someone will get a vision of it, of something. Someone else will get a word. Someone else will get a prophetic utterance or a scripture or a confirmation, and it just flows. Why? Because we want to be in tune with what God wants to do. When we pray in the morning, before we even show up in this building, we're asking the Lord, what does he want to do when we do show up here? So we know even ahead of time what God wants to do. An apostle is one who is so in tune to the kingdom of heaven, what heaven's will is, and their job and their one purpose and their heart's desire is to bring a revelation of it. Bring it down to earth. Make it revealed. That's the apostle's role. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what does that mean? Well, Lord, we want your kingdom revealed. You know, in sci-fi movies, you know, you'll see, oh, worlds are going to collide and all that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, Lord, let what's taking place in heaven be done on earth. What did Jesus himself say? "I don't do anything that I haven't seen the Father do or heard the Father say." himself was so in tune with what was going on in heaven that every step he made was prophetic in that he did only according to the will of his Father, to what he saw was heaven, the principles of heaven were being done and established. That's how Jesus lived his life. That's how an apostle lives his life. That's how we can live our lives being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in that way. I mean, think about it. This morning, as I was praying and coming to church, I was asking the Lord about the word destiny, because we talk a lot about Lord wants to lead us into our destiny, what we are created to be. But that's such a broad term. What if me as a husband started praying, Lord, how can I step into my destiny to be the husband that I can be to my wife, the best husband I can be to my wife? Okay, Lord. So now I'm asking, heaven, what does it look like for me to be the best husband I can be? What if I start asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you want our family to look like? Our household to look like, specifically? Show me, bring a revelation of what heaven's heart is for my family to look like, so that we can move in that direction and be in tune with heaven. The Lord, as I said earlier, showed me many years ago what this church is supposed to look like in terms of being a worshiping church. And he's restoring that. He's bringing that more clear to light and more clarity to it. See, 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. See, the word master builder, excuse me, the words master builder in Greek, it comes from the word architekton, which is architect. So God gave individuals the anointing to be architects, to reproduce heaven on earth, to lay a foundation is what he's saying. You can't build something without a blueprint, without somebody designing it. So the designer gave instructions through the Holy Spirit and gives instruction through the Holy Spirit on how to establish things. Whether it's in our home, in our church, in our workplace, or how he wants things to be. He gave us these things. Anointing of an apostle contains the quality that stimulates and brings out the anointing of others. And like I said, it's amazing how faith encourages faith. When somebody has a word and then you might have dreamt that something similar to that, or has a revelation and that might have been something on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit working. And that's one's anointing, one's ability to tune into what heaven is doing, encourages someone else's. Another thing Lord's been really teaching us and me about a lot too is the importance of seeing somebody who might have a gifting or an anointing in a specific area. That person has been called and anointed and given a special blessing. Well, I want that blessing too. I want to be a part of that. So I want their anointing to speak into my life. So I want them to pray for me. A few weeks ago when we had Joanne Moody here, many of you had her pray over you, and she gave you such words and powerful prayers over you. Well, she has an anointing to do that. And she was able to impart some of that on so many of us that stirred and moved us in a mighty way. And we need that. I need that. Because these things of God all work together. Hand in hand. There is no one over the other. But they work together. But the foundation has to be based on the principles of heaven. on what the kingdom of God has established. So what are some of the priorities of the apostle? Well, the presence of God is a top priority. An apostle wants to be in the presence of God. Foremost, number one. Why? I said earlier, when you're in the presence of God, you can hear, you can see. How many times did Jesus say, let he who has ears, let him hear. He who has eyes, let him see. In the reverse, he said too, for so many who are blinded spiritually, you have ears, but you do not see, hear. You have eyes, but you do not see. He wants us to see. The apostle longs for the presence of God. This is why worship is so important to us. Worship puts us in the presence of God. And for the presence of God, for the purpose of God. Not just to say, ooh, I was with Jesus. It's, yes, ooh, I was with Jesus, but this is what Jesus showed me. This is how he touched me. This is what he wants to do. This is what's taking place. This is the heart of God right now. He showed me how to pray for you. You think those people who have laid hands on you in the past and given you unbelievable words and powerful prayers that read your mail, that knew you, and you're like, wow, how did you even know this? Do you think they knew that ahead of time? That's somebody going up and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm in your presence, Jesus. I'm in your presence. Show me. Speak through me. Teach me. How many times, it doesn't matter who it is, somebody's hurting. When we pray for someone for healing, and somebody says, oh, my arm hurts, we don't just say, lay hands and go, oh, Lord, we pray you heal this arm. What we're doing is we're laying hands and we're praying and we're asking, Holy Spirit, what exactly is wrong with this arm? How do you want us to pray? Is it a fracture? Because if it's a fracture, I want to be specific, because that means you want to heal that fracture. Bring a revelation so I can pray for this fracture. If it's blood flow, then I'm going to command the blood flow correctly. Show me, Lord. Is it vein issues? Is it ventricular? Is it a muscle issue? Because when God gives revelation, he gives revelation so that the work can be done in the revelation. He's not going to show you something and say, ain't that cool? And walk away from it. He's bringing a revelation so that we can do something about it. We can manifest his kingdom. That's the heart of an apostle, to manifest the kingdom of God. So God wants to bring that revelation, wants to show us something so we can act on it so that we can give God glory for it. That's how it works. He pours in so we can pour out, and he gets the glory because it's all from him. It's what the principles of heaven dictate. It's what his heart desires. That's why he brought it into the revelation. So his presence is their top priority. Worship and supernatural activity is what they're hungry for. An apostle recognizes that the saints are sent to destroy the works of the devil. Did you know that? Did you know you're here on earth to destroy what the devil's trying to do and destroy your marriage, your relationship, deprive you of any hope, to take away, usurp your life blood? Some of us, he's trying to take our lives. And the enemy has tried to take our lives. Why? Because he knows what we can do when we are fully on and walking in the power of the kingdom of God. He's scared of that. Shared with the worship team this morning that, you know, the enemy's been attacking me in areas of my life where it's supposed to be the strongest. It's where my anointing is. Why? Because he wants me to believe I'm weak in this area, that I can't succeed in this area, so that I don't try and fail, so I don't move in what God has called me to move in. But we have been called to break that and recognize that from the get-go. And when we are seeking the heart of heaven, we can go, no, your policies are not heaven's policies. Sorry, not going there. Because you know the difference at that point. You know the difference. Third thing, one priority of an apostle is the praise and joy of the kingdom of God revealed on earth. Kingdom of God, there's no sadness. There's no sorrow. There's no weeping. There's no mourning. What do we know about the kingdom of God? Angels are giving glory to God. There is a party going on. What do we know about the kingdom of God? When someone is saved and is baptized and receives that loving grace and mercy of Jesus, man, there's a party going on in heaven. And they know that. The apostle knows that. And the joy, they want that manifested in that here on earth. Look what the devil's trying to do. Turn on the news. Just look around. There's nothing that's meant to bring true joy and hope around us. There are things that are temporary band-aids. The big thing I noticed lately is the music out there. Oh, well, music brings healing to the soul and it brings so much hope and joy. All it does is make you feel good emotionally, but you don't have a foundation of truth that you stand on. But the kingdom of God, the truth of God's word, when we stand on it, when we know it, joy is revealed on earth. Fourth thing, their heart is everyone come into a relationship with God. Primary emphasis is love. They want you to know God loves you. Jesus loves you. That's the bottom line. 2 weeks from now, we're celebrating a birth. Why was he birthed? Because God so loved the world so much, he decided the only way my children could come home is for me to send my son because everything else has failed. I've done everything I could. From day one, if you don't know Jesus loves you, I mean, we hear that thrown around so much to the point where it's become almost secularized sometimes, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. His heart longs for you. He wants nothing more than put a joy in your heart that's going to lead to joy in your life and a smile on your face at times. He loves you, and an apostle wants you to know that love. Wants people, everyone to know the love of God. The church, another priority is that the church is being built up and equipped to become the glorious, victorious bride of Christ. We, the church, are meant to walk in the victory of Christ. The devil thought he had Christ beaten. Christ shocked him when he rose from the dead and gained the victory. The devil wants us to think we are beaten. We are called to be victorious. We are overcomers in the name of Jesus. That same spirit that rose him from the dead is in me. Well, that same spirit can help me overcome everything. I am meant to have the victory. Why? Battle belongs to the Lord. He's already won it. He's already won it. We are to walk like victors, not like victims. We're to act with heads held high, like no matter what, yeah, it might be hard, it might be painful, it might be difficult, it might be frustrating. But you know what? I know who holds the victory. And devil, world, you can throw whatever you want at me, but in the end, I'm standing with my Savior. I'm standing tall with my Savior. Because I know the battle's already won. It's done. The church is to impact the world. That's another apostle. Remember, the word apostle means sent out, a messenger. When we send out an ambassador, we want them to impact other nations because we believe in our policies. We believe in our way of government. We believe this is the best. We want to relate it. Well, I believe the kingdom of God and the principles of God and the heart of God is perfect. And as a church, we stand on that and we want to impact the world for that. We want to see lives changed. I mean, why do we do church? Just to have a social club? Or to have people be touched by the love of Jesus that saves and then fill them with the Holy Spirit so that they can walk in victory, so their lives here on earth can be not walked as walking around as a victim, but can be filled with hope for an eternity that's to come. That we can walk in these things. And the last priority is they're equipping the next generation. An apostle wants to equip the next generation. The apostle Paul, who did he impart on? He took a young kid named Timothy and mentored him. Teenager named Timothy and mentored him. Next generation who became a pastor. Silas, a young kid as well, he took him under his wing as well and mentored him. For a while, Paul mentored John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark. And then he had a moment of immaturity and left. But when he was ready again, Barnabas, another apostle, took him under his wing and mentored him. Restored him. See, the enemy could have taken that situation and said, John Mark, you failed. You're a failure at being a true disciple of Jesus. You're done. But you had a man like Barnabas who said, uh-uh. God isn't done with you. You haven't yet to step into your destiny. Let's go. And he wrote the book of Mark. Their purpose is to pass on the torch. Pass on, impart the things of God. So it continues. As a church, how awesome is it to see all the young adults that are stepping up? All the teenagers that need to, that we want so badly to step up. Not for our sake, but for their sake and the future of the kingdom. But that's life. That's how life works. You breathe life. And one of the kingdom principles is in order to get, you got to give away. When you trust God in giving away, whether that's stepping aside and letting somebody else step up and do something and give up a position, or trust, give away trust, give away things, trust the Lord with your tithes or even your worship. You give away your worship. You pour it out before God. He pours something back in you. Remember, the fire that comes from heaven is measured by the sacrifice at the altar. The bigger the sacrifice, the more God will pour his fire on us. The focus for an apostle is on heaven. Their focus is to pray, is to worship, and part of that is working of signs and miracles and the wonders that the Bible talks about. And not just the working, but the expectation is that they become part of our lives. See, when we are walking with an apostolic anointing, and when I say we, I mean all of us, we don't look at a miracle, a sign, or a healing as, oh my gosh, did you see what God did? We start looking at it, yeah, well, we knew he was going to do that. We expect that to happen here. Why else would we be here? Seriously. Why else would we be here? That's the attitude. Because I expect God to do these things because I'm tuned in to what God is already doing. I expect God to bring peace and clarity to somebody who's struggling with confusion. That's an expectation. I expect God to show up when people are worshiping. And I expect God, when he shows up, to touch people when people are worshiping. I expect God to bring healing. I expect God to bring new revelation. I expect God to bring clarity to things in our lives. I expect God to bring a revelation how to cast out demons. how to set people free from bondage and iniquity. You know, those things, those habits and those things that we're stuck doing over and over and over again. I expect it. The apostle, somebody, and when I say somebody, I mean us, we walk in that anointing, believing this is normal. It should be abnormal when it doesn't happen, to be honest with you. And it's becoming that way here, which I'm so thankful to the Lord about. That if we leave a service or a time together and nothing happens, that's becoming abnormal. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Walking in the power of God. Now, Acts 6:4, and I'm wrapping it up now, says, and these are the apostles saying this, the 12 apostles, minus Judas, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, the apostles were being apostles. Their focus is prayer, and Lord, what are you doing in heaven that we can manifest on earth? Remember, first apostles, then prophets, then he gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists. So if the apostles' job is to focus on what's going on in heaven and bring it to earth, somebody else needs to fill in the gap, so to speak, or the other roles of ministering to the people, of teaching, of working. And we're going to get into that in the future because, see, the fivefold ministry, it's not one above the other or better than the other. They work hand in hand, together. A healthy church, a healthy body, is when you have the apostles and those with the anointings of the apostle flowing, when you have the prophets prophesying. And we're going to talk about prophets next week. And you're going to see how it relates even to the birth of Jesus Christ. And then you have the teachers teaching and the evangelists evangelizing, you know, and the pastors being pastors. It works beautiful together. So we pray as a church for the fivefold ministry to come forth, to break free. That we can all flow in this together because that's mark of a healthy church. When these things are happening. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you have even had a taste of the apostolic anointing, where you've heard, felt, saw a vision, something in the past, and you've been touched by God in that way, don't reject it. Receive it and ask for more. You have because you don't ask. Somebody gave that word in prayer this morning. And that's so fitting. Some of us just need to ask today. Simply need to ask, Lord, I want to be able to be more in tune with what your heart is, what you are doing. I want to be able to have a clearer revelation. Even if you say, it about my own life, about my role, what my purpose is, of who I am in you, who I am in this world. What have you called me to do? What are you doing in my life? Some of us just need to simply start asking. Some of us may need to simply ask for the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to receive. And it's not hard. You just simply ask, Holy Spirit, come baptize me. Come fill me. I receive you right now. Come baptize me. And if you start feeling words that may not make sense to the human ear come out, that's your prayer language beginning to well up inside you. And if it sounds like mush, let it sound like mush, or garble, let it sound. That's your prayer language. That's an indication that you've been touched by the Holy Spirit. So I want you to stand with me right now. I'm going to pray over you. But then I want you to just break up into small groups, threes and fours. No, please keep the groups very small and intimate. And I want you, in a moment, to just pray over each other. And if you in your group have never been touched by the Holy Spirit, if you've never accepted Christ, just simply say, Jesus, I want to know your love. Tell someone in the group and pray, and then let them pray over you. But if you also have not been touched by the Holy Spirit, say, hey, can you pray for the Holy Spirit to come over me? I just want to taste him. I want him in my life. Because I want the time of prayer to specifically be focused on receiving the Holy Spirit so that we can be more in tune with what God is doing. So Lord, I ask for revelation right now. I ask for honesty and purity within us. And I ask for even bravery to not be afraid to simply say, Lord, I want more of you. I want you in my life, Jesus, as my Savior. Holy Spirit, I want you to touch me. I want you to come fill me. And then I want to also begin to know, to have revelation, to see, to understand. I want to hear with not just my physical ears, but my spiritual ears. I want to see with my spiritual eyes. I ask for that apostolic anointing. You can play some soft music, Tommy, and then if you guys just break up right now into your small groups, threes and fours, no more than that. Take a few minutes. Just pray for one another. Encourage each other, that's all. Just encourage each other.